My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
It is essential that our team learns to work with our new recruit, not against him.
I'm a geek, walking down the street.
Check the computer.
The mainframe computer.
I access the mainframe.
At the end of this day, one shall stand, one shall fall.
Time to find out.
Welcome to Basically a Geek Show. Here are your hosts, Mike and Jack.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 23 of Basically a Geek Show. As always, I'm Mike, here with Jack.
What is up?
And we're going to start. Where are we starting today, Jack?
We are starting with me trying to find the list of things that we're going to be starting with.
Pacific Rim 2.
Yes, yes. Pacific Rim 2, it is happening.
Now, this is a surprise, because Pacific Rim...
This is justice.
Pacific Rim, at the box office, did not do super well.
Well, that's because there's a lot of idiots out there that, you know, didn't, you know, see it. The movie's awesome. I mean, it's... Okay, you can't... You cannot take... Pacific Rim and Godzilla and compare me like, oh, well, I like Godzilla better, or I like Pacific Rim better. They were two different movies trying to do two different things.
Agreed.
I know the nature is to compare all giant monsters, you know, smashing the city movies.
They all fail in comparison to Power Rangers the movie.
Bad Troll is bad. But yeah, I mean, you know, and Pacific Rim, I don't think, you know, most of the people that I've actually talked to about the flick say that it was awesome. So I don't get why, maybe there just aren't, you know, as many kaiju fans. Maybe the whole thing of, maybe Godzilla doing as well as it did, with that name brand recognition or whatever, kind of maybe it convinced him to give it another shot. I don't know.
Tell you what Pacific Rim's big problem was. The marketing was terrible. First of all, Pacific Rim. What the fuck is what? Like, just going by the title, that it's a terrible title. It is a terrible title.
It's a porno title.
It's a terrible title for giant robots fighting kaiju. Secondly, and this is going to seem trivial, but no fucking toys on the shelves. Okay, look, you got to hook the kids on your giant robot monster movie. And you do that with toys. And you think about it, and Pacific Rim seems tailor-made for a hit toy line, because you got all these different kaiju designs, and you got all these different giant robot designs. It seems perfect. But I didn't see any Pacific Rim toys on the shelves, and they did make them, but they were only in very specialized, overly priced, collector-oriented lines.
Yeah, they went for the collectors with the toy line. Not a good idea. You know, I see a lot of brands that have kind of over-anticipated how appealing they would be. I mean, there were a lot of ideas that had just flopped. I'm trying to think of what one would be right now, but nothing's coming to my head. But, you know, they were like, okay. Perfect thing of what I'm talking about. There was a game on the old 8-bit NES. It was called Cheetah Men. This game was absolute ass. It was an unplayable piece of shit. But the company that made it, they were already working on a cartoon, on comic books, on action figures, off of their unplayable shit pile of a fucking game. And you know, there was a few other examples of, you know, ideas for whatever that where they kind of overestimated its marketability. Pacific Rim, just the opposite. I mean, you've got giant robots fighting monsters.
Another one actually was Congo, that movie about gorillas.
That movie where they killed Ash?
Yeah.
Way too quickly?
Yeah, and like, it was just, like, I remember the marketing for that. They were gearing up for that to be like the next Jurassic Park or something, and then it just flopped.
That movie sucked. I mean, I remember.
I mean, now, don't get me wrong. If it was just about Bruce Campbell shooting gorillas with a super gun powered by crystals for the whole movie, sure,
right.
I'm there.
Yeah.
But
it should have been Ash from Army of Darkness, and he comes in and he just like detaches the chainsaw, puts on a laser gun.
And just starts shooting gorillas for 2 hours.
Yeah, and just fries fucking apes. Yeah. And you know what? Mission accomplished. I remember going to the theater and seeing that with my mother. And she was thoroughly impressed for whatever reason. She's got a thing. She had a thing for monkeys in Africa. What the hell ever. Anything like jungly she was into. And me, I'm just like, oh, this is ass. Oh yeah, Bruce Campbell. Oh wait, he's dead. Well. I'm done here. And, yeah, I don't know why, you know, the guys over at Legendary didn't think, you know, look, we've got kaiju and robots and, you know, okay, even if kids don't care about the movie, don't get to see the movie, they're going to want giant robot and kaiju toys.
Yeah, I mean, but over the past 15, 20 years, the two highest selling brands of boys' toys have been Transformers and Power Rangers. That should tell you where the money is when it comes to that market.
Yeah.
It's in giant robots and it's in giant monsters.
Yeah.
And here you've got a movie where giant robots fight giant monsters. And look, that's how you get kids excited. The kids see the robot and monster toys on the shelves and they see it's for a movie. And now they want to see the movie. But they didn't do that at all. You're right. They severely underestimated this film's marketability.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, if they had, I think it, of course, would have done better. The movie itself, I thought, was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, you know, Guillermo del Toro there has not, he hasn't said too much about what's coming up.
So I mean, the movie, Spanish Peter Jackson?
Yeah. Pretty much. He hasn't said much about, you know, what's going to be in Pacific Rim 2. I mean, the movie's not even coming out until 2017.
I know that they were talking a Godzilla Pacific Rim crossover at Comic-Con last year.
You know, I see the big issue with that. I don't know. I don't see about how they're going to get those two universes to cross.
Yeah, the kaiju of Godzilla's world are not the same as the kaiju from Pacific Rim's universe. And, yeah.
I mean, I would still like to see it. I mean, I don't care about the continuity. Do whatever it takes to make that happen. But at the same time, there are wet blankets who will care because they don't like things that are awesome. And people that are just stupid and will be like, wait, I'm confused. Just shut up and watch the goddamn movie.
Well, I maintain that Godzilla would kick any of the kaiju from Pacific Rim's ass.
Yes. I mean, well, they pretty much said that.
Yeah, didn't they say that Godzilla would have been a Category 6?
Yes.
And the highest that a kaiju got in Pacific Rim was Category 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always found it kind of interesting that they had their classification basically invoking the idea of a hurricane.
Or tornado.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that makes sense in natural disasters and whatnot. But the thing about Pacific Rim 2 is, you know, this movie did not perform well at the box office. And yet we're talking about a sequel after it appeared that all sequel talk had been shelved. Apparently the head of the studio, I think it's Fox.
Warner Brothers for Pacific Rim.
Warner Brothers for Pacific Rim. Okay, yeah. The head of Warner Brothers is apparently a big fan of the movie, and he's the one who kind of rescued it and said, no, we're going to do a sequel. So, you know, Pacific Rim lucks out. You get the boss's favor, and you get to make the sequel to your movie.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, you know, it's good that they finally did that. I'm trying to find a little bit more about what they said. This is what I was trying to remember. Something that was mentioned about something that may be in Pacific Rim 2 is them expanding on the idea of, quote-unquote, the drift. which is, I guess, where the Jaeger pilots are, like, in their mind when they're, you know, jacked into a Jaeger. I hope they don't, I don't want to see a movie about that. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. The whole drifting thing I thought was the least interesting aspect of Pacific Rim. It felt contrived.
I wouldn't say it felt contrived. I mean, it just doesn't, I just don't care. It's a giant monster movie. Giant monsters, giant robots, anything that's not involving those, I don't care about.
Like, I don't know. The way that I just kind of look at it, it's the whole drift thing just kind of, it seemed like forced drama. I've watched enough Power Rangers, enough Transformers.
Gee,
enough,
well, you know good cinema when you see it, sir.
I know quality cinema, okay? I just growing up when I did, I've been exposed to enough giant robot fighting anime and TV shows that the idea that two people can't pilot a robot without this, like, mental handshake just kind of seemed contrived, because I'm like, but whoa, wait a minute. They do the two guys pilot, like, robots all the time in Gundam, and, like, five people pilot the Megazord. What the fuck's going on?
Well, I mean, I don't care about them. Okay, the idea itself, I don't dislike it. I'm just saying, I don't mind the idea being in there. I think it's fine. It works for what they're doing. I had no issue with it. I didn't feel that it felt contrived. I just don't care enough about it for them to really make it like a subplot, a major subplot of the next movie. It's not, you know, it's a mechanism they put in place is, you know, I believe they said that they wanted a reason to where, you know, two pilots were required for a Jaeger. And then, you know, it kind of comes in this whole thing where I guess, you know, you have to really be comfortable with the person you're linked to, giggity. For you know, the Jaeger to perform optimally. Okay, that's all cool. That's fun. You've told us what we need to know about it. Now let's just watch shit get smashed.
Well, I mean, the way that I kind of look at it is like, okay, no, it's like five people could pilot the Megazord without a problem. Are these two guys just like fucking wimps? Are they like not as good as the Power Rangers? What the hell?
Bad troll is bad, sir.
That was honestly my thought process, because this idea has never really been explored, at least not anything I've seen, and it kind of just seemed like forced drama, because they had to get, like, the two main characters into that war bonding kind of relationship, and I don't know. Again, I'm not bashing the movie, really, because I did enjoy it, and I am looking forward to a sequel, but the whole drift thing... Just, that was one thing that I thought could have been left out entirely and the movie wouldn't have suffered at all.
I don't think the absence would have been noticed, really. I don't think it, I don't feel that it was contrived. I don't think it deterred from the movie in any way. Again, I just don't think it's something that they need to expand on. They've told us what we need to know about it. Let's move on. You know, let's make it about badass new Jaegers, badass new kaiju. Which is really what Pacific Rim is about. It's not meant to be any kind of cerebral, thought-provoking piece of cinema. It's meant to be fun and awesome. And it that's exactly what it was. And, you know, I hope they don't fuck with that by, you know, probing and, you know, going on a mind fuck fest. Oh my God, what if they all turn into fucking orange soda? Oh my God. No, that won't happen. That won't happen.
And then, like, the main character just monologues for, like, an hour and a half.
I will shoot myself in the fucking face in the middle of the fucking theater.
I've also heard Del Toro say that he wants to do, like, something that's, like, half Jaeger, half kaiju.
Mecha King Ghidorah?
That's kind of what I thought, honestly. And, like, I don't know. I'm up for anything, really. I just hope they don't overthink it. Like you said, Pacific Rim's appeal is that it's not really a cerebral type of movie. But if they try to make it one by overthinking some aspects, then it could end poorly.
Yeah, it will end poorly. This is not the type of movie that you really want to. Pacific Rim did not take itself seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's what was awesome about it. It is mutually exclusive to have too much seriousness for this movie to try to get too deep. That will be mutually exclusive to what made the first one great. So no, stay away from that shit. Just give us better and more of what we had before, and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Transformers franchise after all. I mean, they keep giving us more and better
of what
we had before.
Michael Bay, now second highest grossing director of all time.
Indeed.
Fuck you, James Cameron.
But Avatar.
Michael Bay's like, Revenge of the Fallen made $800 million. Fuck your Avatar.
And that was my shittiest one.
Yeah, that one sucked ass. I put two Jar Jar Binkses in that movie.
Yeah.
And people still bought it.
Two Jar Jar Binkses, a fucking robot humping a bitch's leg and fucking Devastator's balls, and I'm still rolling in it.
Yeah. I mean,
bitches be hating.
Exactly. I mean, for anything you can say about the Michael Bay Transformers franchise, you cannot say that it takes itself too seriously.
No, you can't.
It delivers exactly what's on the goddamn label.
Yeah. So other movies that are going to be coming up that I'm much less enthusiastic about. In fact, I don't think they need to be made, period.
Mm.
And I would like them to just go away so that Star Trek could get J.J. Abrams back. The new Star Wars movies.
Mm.
Now, I'm a little confused on this. Maybe you can kind of enlighten me.
Okay.
Because on one hand, my original thoughts on this, or my original impression that I got, rather, was that these were going to be, you know, episode 7,
mm-hmm.
8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read a few things that implies they dare not use the term quote unquote prequels anymore, because that might trigger some Charlie's in the bushes moments with a few of us.
No, Star Wars, you don't want to say the word prequel in reference to Star Wars.
Yeah, so they're going to be origin stories.
Well, your confusion stems from the fact that Disney, when they bought Lucasfilm and made these announcements, that Disney is planning on two separate series of Star Wars movies. There will indeed be episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Okay.
Those will not be origins. They won't be prequels. They will pick up after Return of the Jedi. The origin story films are that outside of the 7, 8, 9, outside of the main numbered series, you're going to have origin stories for popular characters from the franchises. There's going to be a Han Solo origin story movie. There's going to be a Yoda origin story movie. There's going to be a Boba Fett origin story movie. And I don't understand why Boba Fett's getting an origin story movie because, you know, son of a bitch.
Wasn't that covered in the prequels?
Yeah, that was it.
Basically?
Yeah, that was called Revenge of the
Clone Wars.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones. It was episode 2. It was the worst of the prequels, so.
It was actually the one I liked the best.
Of course it was.
Well, no, Christopher Lee. Okay, Christopher Lee, I don't need to say anything else.
They got the guy famous for playing Count Dracula, and then they called him Count Dooku.
Yes.
Yeah, fucking Lucas. He ran out of ideas like 30 goddamn years ago. He just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, okay. This is where I'm coming from with this.
What if we got Dracula to be Space Dracula?
Yeah, this is where I'm coming from with this, and I guess this could be like a little mini bad movie public defender, but I'm going to say on episode 2, what made me like it what made me hate it the least of the three prequels was Christopher Lee, because I don't give a rat's ass about Star Wars. I really do not. I don't dislike it. I like it in terms of, as long as it can be fun, entertaining sci-fi action, I'm good. And in that regard, I like it no better or worse than any other movie of its type. It's nothing special or revered to me. So in that sense, I'm going to be much more objective about it. And I kind of approach things from a different place. I see Christopher Lee being basically, yeah, what you said, Space Dracula. And I'm not offended like, oh my God, they're taking this wonderful series and they're doing this too. I'm just like, oh my God, that's fucking awesome. Space Dracula, sign me the fuck up. That's where I was coming from with it. And, you know, it fucking beat, you know, fucking Dillweed running around going, Padme!
Oh, fucking Anakin.
Yeah.
Back when they turned Darth Vader, one of the most badass human villains, like one of the most badass villains in cinema, and then they like turned him into a
movie?
Pardon?
Into a fucking Lifetime original movie?
They turned him into a whiny teenager, and it was just not good at all, because...
So, yeah, at least it wasn't listening to that bollocks for another however many minutes.
No! We saved that for episode 3, where he and Padme spent like 15 minutes of fucking screen time telling themselves how much they loved each other. It was...
No!
In like the beginning of episode 3, there is like an entire scene which is like being like stuck in a room with your little sister who is on the phone with her boyfriend, and they're like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up.
I love you. I love you more.
Yeah, exactly.
I love you most.
That's exactly what that dialogue between Padme and Anakin was like at the beginning of episode 3. I love you so much. Well, I love you too. Our love is like a loving river of loving lovingness. Oh my God!
We get it. You love each other. Now shut the fuck up and go hack some more kids or something.
Shut the fuck up and turn into Darth Vader so we can go home.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was But basically, that's the plan. That they've got Yoda, Boba Fett, and Han Solo, and they are going to give them origin story movies that will exist outside of the standard, you know, 1 through 9, you know, numbered series.
I don't think Han Solo needs an origin story movie either. Well, honestly, I mean, okay, you get, okay, in the good trilogy, you get enough of an idea about how he started and what he's about. I really don't feel like it's necessary.
Yeah, no, he was a smuggler for Jabba the Hutt. He, you know, screwed him over, and now he's working for the Rebel Alliance. That's right. That's all you really need
now,
to know.
Yoda might could be interesting. I mean, he's old as fuck. He's bound, and that's one thing I did actually like about the prequels. You know, seeing Yoda be a badass.
I know a lot of Star Wars fans who, like, would burn your house down to hear you say that.
Why? Well, what's wrong with Yoda being a badass?
Because in Empire Strikes Back, which is like the holy grail of Star Wars movies, that's like everyone reveres Empire as the best.
I don't like it. It sucked.
That's because you don't understand its place in the story structure.
I understand its fucking place.
Okay. No, okay. Well, anyway, in that movie, Yoda is very strong for the Force, and his whole thing is that size doesn't matter, strength doesn't matter, it's your oneness with the Force. And
yeah,
then
it's just fucking oneness with the Force to pwn shit.
But then when like they showed Yoda jumping all over the place and being a badass, it's like, well, you know, what about all that stuff he talked about like, you know, not using violence or anything? So that's the idea that like the scenes of Yoda jumping all around with his lightsaber, like, betrayed the intent of how he was portrayed in the original movie.
I disagree. And I'll say my piece on it. I know I'm not going to change anyone's mind. I really don't care if I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say what I think about it. It goes to the way real life is. There are certain issues that, whether you like it or not, can only be resolved through conflict. Mm-hmm. And Yoda is smart enough to realize this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a badass. I mean, he proved that size and strength don't matter by doing his little flippy flippy hacky hacky shit that he was doing. Okay, mm-hmm. He was the smallest, physically weakest one there, and yet he was the most effective in battle. So he you know, walked the walk. I don't recall Yoda ever saying anything necessarily against that violence was, you know, to be avoided. I mean, he trained Skywalker, young Skywalker, to be a Jedi, to take down the fucking Empire.
Mm.
So obviously he knew that he wasn't going over there to fucking negotiate with the assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gotcha. Violence is implied in what he sent Luke to do.
Yes.
So, duh. Mm. I don't see any betrayal there.
Well, okay, I gotcha. But what really interests me about a Yoda origin is that, like you said, he's old. And if you want to cover stuff from Yoda's life that predates even what we saw in the prequel trilogy, then we're getting into like the really old Star Wars mythology. Like, we're going way back.
Right, and that's what I think would be interesting about it.
Possibly, and I'm not sure how old Yoda is. I know he's old as balls.
I think like, what, 900 years old, I think?
Yeah, I mean, like, theoretically, if we go to like, Yoda's origin, like, story, like, we're theoretically seeing the foundation of the original Republic.
Right, and I mean, this is Disney. This is Disney, motherfuckers. If they want Yoda to be 5,000 years old, guess what? Guess how old fucking Yoda will be. But I mean, as far as I understand it, he's around 900.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be however fucking old Disney wants him to be.
Yeah.
You will do as the mouse commands!
I'm sure Mickey will be on set. Ha-ha! But, yes. So that's kind of... That's our Star Wars coverage. A lot of Star Wars news kind of coming out these last few weeks. Again, nothing really concrete about Episode 7, but you know, we're starting to see the vague shapes of what it's going to be. And
it's going to be ass.
I don't know. I don't know. Avengers gives me hope, because with Marvel, they've proven that they can give it to people who know what they're doing. Like, okay, in Marvel, they're like, well, let's give it to Joss Whedon, because he's a big Marvel fan. And then it worked. And then for, like, Star Wars, they're like, well, let's give it to J.J. Abrams, because he's a big Star Wars fan. And so, hopefully, it'll work.
It's not a question. Okay. I'm not so sure that the movies will be ass. I'm sure that they will be perceived. You're going to have the same thing happen with these movies that you see happening with the Michael Bay Transformers movies and the things that you've seen kind of happen with the Star Trek reboot. Even though we know next to zero about these movies, there are already thousands of people who've already decided it's going to be the worst thing to happen to Star Wars since George Lucas blew a fuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're already pretty much lumping them in with the prequels. I just know it. And it's going to be one of those cases that I don't think you'll be able to, no matter how quote unquote good they are, it's going to be like with Age of Extinction. There's going to be people that have no legitimate gripe with the movie. They're just going to hate it because mm-hmm. reasons.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a possibility. But, I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. As far as I'm concerned, the prequels hit rock bottom. And there's really nothing that Episode 7 can do to take the franchise to new depths. So.
No.
It's really only, you know, you can really only go up from here. So, that's kind of where I'm coming from.
I don't know. I never underestimate people's ability to fail. Yeah.
Well, we will see. We will see. Moving on then.
Generations Jetfire.
Yes. Transformers Generations Jetfire. So let's talk a bit about this toy. We talked a bit about it when it was first unveiled at Toy Fair. Well, actually, we first talked about it when its pics were leaked about a week before Toy Fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been there, we've seen it, and now it's for pre-order. And I just want to reiterate just how awesome this toy looks.
It is... It's what Jetfire should be. Kudos to Hasbro for actually being able to have Jetfire transform into pretty much his original G1 form without a fucking lawsuit from goddamn Harmony Gold.
Oh, Harmony Gold got p- pwned in the courts, so.
Oh, they deserve it. They're fucking idiots.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, it's a great looking figure. It's on pre-order now. Pre-order on Big Bad Toy Store.
I shall not be pre-ordering this, unfortunately.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, this is one of those cases where it's pointless to pre-order it because they're going to be available at retail.
Yeah. This is going to be, it's a leader toy, which means it's going to be big, it's going to be expensive, so it's not going to be hard to find. I imagine they'll be hanging around on shelves for a while.
Yeah, and you know, you'll probably be able to, it's on Big Bad Toy Store for I think $49.95. Mm-hmm. You'll probably be able to pick it up at Walmart for like $45 down here.
$45, it's probably gonna be around $60 in Canada. And that, cause Canadian prices are a bitch, and.
But you'll pay it.
For Jetfire, yes, I'll pay it.
Yeah, you will pay it and you will like it, sir.
I'll pay it for Jetfire. I still maintain the only reason I kinda like, Leader Prime from Age of Extinction was cause I got him for $45 on sale. And for like $45, he's fine. For $60, I would have felt ripped off, but for $45, he's fine. So, you know.
Yeah.
Then again, Age of Extinction toys had to go on sale. But, you know, the movie's still doing well, so it's not like fatigue with Transformers. I guess it's just a fatigue with movie toys.
Ass.
Yeah.
It's fatigue with ass.
Oh.
I mean, okay, even kids are smart enough to know these toys are fucking junk, most of them. I mean,
I will say that, you know, after seeing Age of Extinction, passing up on Hound will be tough when I finally do see him.
Yeah, Hound looks good. I mean, the movie line, it does have some good figures. It just doesn't have as many as its predecessors did. And, you know, part of it is saturation. I think, you know, a lot of kids have as many Optimus Primes as their parents will let them have.
And Optimus Prime vehicle, and the new Optimus Prime design, while different for this movie, just isn't different enough to really, like, if you bought your kid an Optimus Prime toy from Dark of the Moon a couple of years back, you know, you're not gonna buy him this one. It doesn't look different enough to seem like a new toy to someone who's not into the design of these things.
Right. But yeah, the Generations line though, is really where I think Hasbro's showing what they can do now.
From what I've seen from a few, interviews with Hasbro people from BotCon, which just happened, it seems as if a lot of the guys, running the brand right now really have a solid appreciation for Generation 1, and it shows.
Yeah, and that is good. It's good to see other than Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, and an occasional Jazz and Hot Rod get some love. It's good to see a new Jetfire after all these years.
Classic Jetfire from 06 is still pretty good in my book, but this one just really looks fantastic.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago, and since then we've had, you know, 35 different Primes and probably 70 different Bumblebees.
They all combine. I promise you, if you go back and buy them all, you will be able to combine them into like some mega monstrosity Bumblebee.
Well, I can combine them all into one fucking hefty bag.
But yeah, Jetfire getting some love. I'm excited about this. Between this and the leader Megatron that they unveiled at BotCon, Hasbro is really hitting it with these generations. And, you know, what can I say? For all the faults of the movie line, with all of the emphasis on these one-step transformation toys that just look terrible and just look like absolute garbage. And yes, I know they're meant for kids, but I'm still allowed to think they look bad.
Yeah, I mean, all
that,
you know.
All that being said, you know, they really do know how to do the generation stuff, and I'm happy to see it. Although I will say that even the Generations movie stuff is a bit underwhelming. I haven't picked him up yet, primarily because I almost picked him up because I liked him in the movie, but then I heard some reviews and I decided to, you know, maybe wait until a premium version of the character comes out. But Crosshairs. The green
Autobots, the one with the trench coat, yeah.
The one with the trench coat voiced by Bender.
Yeah.
His if you buy just his off the wall, like off, like just stock toy, the deluxe generations version, which is supposed to be a higher end, they only painted one half of his car mode with the proper decals.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's not just like somebody got a bum one. No, this is widely reported.
Jeez.
And, what's this? A fans project exclusive car crash.
Yeah, this is, these are TFCon exclusives, and I know that you go to TFCon every year.
The main day was actually today, and I wasn't able to get to it.
Oh, fuck.
I will try to make it out tomorrow, though, because it will be open. Tomorrow is the last day, so I'll try to hit up tomorrow and see what's going on there.
Yeah, and I've seen that, and I wanted to show it to you, because I know you've got the love for the G2. And what this is a fans project repaint of one of the their Stunticons.
It's Breakdown, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am loving that. If I can find that tomorrow, I will be all over that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to show Mike this shit. Cause,
It's Fans Project, a third-party, unlicensed company, technically engaging in intellectual property theft. But we won't debate the pros and cons of that right now. If I see this, I'm getting it, because, like I said, Stunticon's not necessarily my favorite combiner group, but I love me some Breakdown, I love me some G2, so if I can find this for a reasonable price, it's mine.
Indeed, tomorrow will be better in a way, because that'll be the last day, getting rid of unwanted stock.
Yeah, so, hopefully I'll be able to score some deals off of dealers who are like, take my shit!
take you some mace, and you know, when people are just like flocking back and forth, you know, just mace them down, and you know, cut ahead in line. You know, shop like an American, damn it.
Or just, you know, mace the dealers and steal their stuff.
That is, you know, that's definitely a possibility.
Now basically, I have the last Nova Prime.
Yeah, basically, Geek Show does not in any way condone theft. You shop responsibly. But yeah, you could just, you know, fucking mace a bitch and take everything. Don't do that, kids. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'll try to make it up to TFCon tomorrow. I'll probably miss all the panels, but honestly, I really don't go to any of the panels at conventions. I know that's like blasphemous, but it's mostly for the dealer room.
Yeah, you know, the fat loot.
Unless someone's there that I really want to see. Like, if Peter Cullen ever came to a TFCon, I'd go to that panel, because I've never been to a Peter Cullen panel before. But, like, this is the guy who voiced Generation 1 Wheelie. I'm like, I don't want to talk to that asshole.
Yeah. I know what you did.
Or, a couple years back, they had the big thing for TFCon was meet the guy who voiced Generation 1 Perceptor. And I'm like, I hated Perceptor. No.
Yeah. Perceptor was annoying.
Yeah. He was the Peter of Transformers. That's an inside joke, by the way, so sorry for that, folks. But, yeah, Perceptor, not so much.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, Generations leader Jetfire coming out very soon. Good stuff. Definitely good stuff.
They did say that unlike past years, Generations this year will not be stunted by movie goods. So hopefully we'll see Jetfire in stores sooner rather than later. Again, they said that like the movie stuff won't put a halt to Generations distribution.
Good. Because damn. And that's what always kind of sucked, you know, when the movie toys had come out, you couldn't get anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if for me, a lot of the movie designs I just didn't like. Their toys, a lot of the toys just, they just felt like breaking toys waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Indeed. Moving on, what we've got next, sir?
We have got, some World of Warcraft, possible, I guess you could say, spoiler information, regarding, kind of the Draenei plotline. Now, we had discussed before about Valen. I couldn't remember his fucking name for a second. Valen, the head honcho of the Draenei, never got to do anything really in-game before. Warlords of Draenor comes along. Yes, Valen's going to do shit. He's badass. You know, he's almost like a deity. That's how fucking powerful this guy is. And he dies. But they're introducing this new character, a Draenei paladin chick named Uriel, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Or Urel, I don't know.
Purell, I don't fucking know. Anyways, so you got this chick, and she is, you know, I'd said earlier that, you know, well, she's gonna, they're introducing her for a reason. Valen dying, kind of, okay, well, someone's got to take over. Now, it hasn't been confirmed that Uriel is really going to be doing that, taking, you know, Valen's place yet. But we do know she's at least going to be an Exarch. Now, if you're sitting there scratching your head saying, well, what the fuck is an Exarch? That's a very good question. Mike, tell us what the fuck an Exarch is.
Well, in the Byzantine Empire... Exarch. Okay, no. Real world explanation for what an Exarch is not exactly what we're looking for. In the Warcraft universe, an Exarch is the military commander, in Draenei society who is in charge of a region or a province. It's like the head honcho for, a particular Draenei community.
You know, that actually, that makes me think, which is rare. But, okay, so you're going to have this Draenor is not going anywhere. In the sense that after the events of this are over, as far as I know, this Draenor will coexist in the continuity with, you know, present-day Azeroth.
But it's not time travel.
No, it's a parallel dimension. It's you know, almost like alternate history, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
It's timey-wimey.
So what in this case, since, as we had known it before, Draenei society had been pretty much butt-fucked to oblivion by the fucking orcs, because it's what they do.
They're evil.
Basically, yes.
Regardless of what their propaganda mill tells us.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be sheeple, kids. Don't trust orcs bearing gifts.
Don't trust Chris Metzen.
Trust the lies.
Don't trust Chris Metzen and his orc lust.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess what I'm getting at here, so at this point, once Warlords of Draenor concludes, you're going to have two separate Draenei societies, the one on Azeroth and the one on Draenor. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's going to be head of one but not the other.
Quite possibly. But in the game text that was released, I'm not sure if it was leaked or data mined, but the game text that has been made available, they seem to make a big deal about leadership when they make her Exarch. They talk about it. They talk about, oh, she has the strength to lead. All these trials have been passed. She is now a leader. And then they name her Exarch. It's entirely possible that they're setting her up as Valen's replacement, at least in this new timeline. I don't know if Valen in our timeline dies or not. This is...
Yeah. Yeah, he died. I mean, it's the same Valen.
That's what I'm saying. This is confusing because, like, there would have been a Valen back on Draenor in the past, but there's also the Valen in our timeline.
Ooh, good point.
So, Valen dies in the alternate past, and then is maybe replaced by Uriel, but our Valen's still alive, I think, unless they kill him too.
No, I think he's the one that dies.
See, this is confusing. This is the prop. This is why.
Can't we just have Michael J. Fox play Johnny B. Good?
Back to the future! They better have a DeLorean mount. Either that or a TARDIS.
Oh, geez.
But, yeah, this could get...
No, I could see Blizzard being Blizzard, mm-hmm. would have an outhouse called the Turdus.
Oh, they would.
And
they
the little caption for it would say, it's bigger on the inside.
It would, because someone at Blizzard, perhaps Chris Metzen, I don't know, but someone at Blizzard has an unhealthy scat fetish, and it's really showing. It's invading the game.
Okay, now, okay. A healthy appreciation of poop jokes does not mean one has a scat fetish.
I'm just saying it's gotten a bit much.
Why do you hate poop, sir?
I don't hate poop, sir. I don't.
So you love poop?
No, I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's just a thing that is there. But all of the poop quests that they send you on, after a while, you start to notice the pattern and you start to ask questions.
You know, those poop quests are an integral part of our character's lore.
They're probably the only thing our characters have actually done in lore. Because lore knows anytime we kill anybody who's really, like, evil, we don't actually get to kill them. you got the Lich King down to zero health, but here's a cutscene showing Tyrion doing it.
Yeah, and my hatred for that was so strong that I actually willed my character to live through that fucking party wipe thing.
And you kept hitting Arthas, yes. as he was talking to Tyrion. Yes. You're like, don't believe the lies! You all see what's happening!
Indeed.
Oh, but yeah, so I'm convinced that if you actually look at, like, the WoW lore, the only thing the player characters have ever actually done are the poop quests.
But yeah, so we've got Uriel at least getting the title of Exarch, which that may end up being the leader of Draenei, because Valen is a prophet. I mean, I don't think they have another prophet lying around.
No, and you know, if Exarch is roughly equivalent to General, then it could also stand for the leader of the entire race, I suppose.
Ah, General Sexy Goat Chick. Aw, yeah.
And now we get to the other disturbing fetish, and,
Lol.
But, yes, well, you called this, obviously, but, I'm not gonna lie, I still kinda think it sucks that Valen dies right when he's actually poised to do something.
I think it sucks too, but it's kinda funny in a way, just because of like how excited we all got.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like,
Valen,
oh.
Valen lore, yes!
Yeah, Valen lore, alright.
And then Blizzard's like, nah, he's dead!
He's dead, son! He's fucking dead!
He's dead and he's never coming back!
It's your fault because you didn't clap hard enough.
And again, I thoroughly look forward to seeing War Chief Vol'jin being completely marginalized in the expansion right after he's made War Chief. Because don't let Chris Metzen fool you when he says he can't write for Alliance. The truth is he can't write for anyone who's not an orc. And that includes most of the Horde.
Yeah, and I think that kind of sucks. I mean, I don't particularly like Vol'jin, but I don't particularly dislike him. He's not Thrall.
That is true. He does have that over anyone else.
And
he is not Thrall. You know, that's a big thing.
You know, from the Horde standpoint, I feel kind of bad for him because, okay, they had all this shit wrapped around, you know, who's, you know, getting their new war chief and all that other shit.
It was a huge thing. Who's going to be the new war chief?
Right. And I mean, I'd know how I would feel if they did that with the Alliance. Mm. And, you know, but now it kind of looks like, he's really not going to be. I mean, all appearances right now, at least, are that, you know, Vol'jin's really not going to be playing all that much of a part in Warlords of Draenor.
No.
I think that kind of sucks. I think that's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of the Horde players didn't want Vol'jin, but most of them didn't seem to have a problem with it. And either way, whether they liked it or hated it, I think Blizzard, you know, could do a little bit more to make it matter. And, you know, but it seems to, as you say, be getting just trivialized.
I wouldn't be surprised if Vol'jin's replaced by the end of Warlords of Draenor.
I would. I think that'd be, from a just a practical standpoint, I don't think they're going to have the creative impetus, the creative manpower to do that again so soon when it really doesn't need to be done.
I'm just saying though that
on top of everything else that they're working on.
The big Horde character who's getting all the development is of course Thrall, because even though his story ended, he will never leave.
Thrall carries baby Thrall through the portal.
And that's how the expansion ends. But yeah, goddamn Thrall, he just won't leave. And I could see Metzen being like, no, this is all part of the story. Before Thrall could be war chief again, he had to meet his ancestors and do a thing with spirits and in tune with elements and... Thrall's back! At least he's not... At least he's going by Thrall now, though. At least he stopped doing that whole call me Gor-El or Goel, because nobody was doing that.
What irritates me is, why should you and I care whether Thrall is, you know, war chief of the Horde? And... the fact that we're in a position where it's like, oh God, please, anyone but Thrall. We have interacted more with fucking Thrall than our own leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Especially during Cataclysm, where he was like the world shaman. And like, you would do a quest for him, he'd be like, thank you, friend. Like, I owe you a debt of gratitude. I'm like, shut up, Thrall. Don't talk to me.
I have reasons that are entirely my own for not wanting existence to perish.
Exactly.
This doesn't make us friends.
He's like, thank you, friend. I'm like, don't talk to me, Thrall.
Yeah.
Give me my fucking gold and experience points.
Yeah. Just give me my fucking 13 gold and 86 copper, and I'll be on my way. Thank you.
Punk ass.
And you know, former war chief of the Horde, I think you could shell out a little bit more as a quest reward. Just saying.
Could you though? Because like, as soon as he becomes the world shaman, he starts wearing that like hobo bathrobe.
Not our bloody problem.
So, but at least he's finally back in his armor in Draenor. At least he's not walking around in that like fucking bathrobe that probably stinks by now.
Fucking Agra probably made him fucking change it and take a bath.
But yeah, he's walking around in his armor, which he got in Warcraft 3, which means that it's still horribly outdated.
You can't raid with us, you fucking scrub. Look at your gear. But I'm Thrall. Noob!
L2 gear noob! Now he's just, you just have like this decked out Tauren Paladin running behind him. L2 gear!
Lol. That's about right.
Yeah. Oh, fucking Thrall. I hate him so much. I don't know. It's just, you're right. We've interacted with him more than we have of our own leaders. And, you know, if Metzen can't learn how to write alliance, then they need to bring in someone who can to at least balance things out. Because I am tired of every time, like, having the alliance storyline play second fiddle. To, if it's not playing second fiddle to the Horde, it's playing second fiddle to Thrall, who's basically the Horde.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll change at some point. Maybe next expansion. Of course, we've been saying that for a while, but, you know.
Well, nobody saw this one coming. Everyone thought, you know, we'd be doing stuff with, like, Sylvanas and Gilneas and Lordaeron, because that's where they said we'd be going next at the end of this one, and so foolish us logically assuming that what they said would be next would be next.
Fucking retards, you should have known better.
But then they're like, nope, time travel, more orcs.
Oh, okay.
As eye slowly begins to twitch.
Yeah. So many or I don't like that. That had Metzen all over it. I'm sorry, it did.
And then the Horde gets to ride there on their new choppers.
I hope they all. I hope there's a glitch. And like every time they try to load it, it freezes up. Like the game just freezes and then like kicks them out. I hope there's a glitch.
You're not bitter at all, are you?
Fucking Horde.
Not bitter at all. There is no bitterness here. None whatsoever.
Well, we still have indoor plumbing, so I still say we win.
Yeah, we totally fucking win that shit. You know, and we can keep a stable leader, you know, in power for longer than two expansions.
Oh, so, hail Alliance Uber Fjord Rin!
Sky Marshal Rogers for High Queen, or Sky Admiral, rather. I get it mixed up.
Yeah, well, whatever. But, you know, maybe one of these days, Gen Greymane will get to be High King of the Alliance. Because dignified, generic, restrained leadership, sir.
The guy who says, I will bury you?
Well, no, we do know that he's gonna get some lore, you know, we talked about it a bit, he's got some sort of, like, he's got mange, so, you know.
Lol.
We'll have to go on the quest for, like, the holy neck cone.
There really should be a holy neck cone.
I'm just saying, disease for the worgen. Yeah, It's gotta be, there's gotta, and I play a worgen, so I will rock the fucking neck cone if they put it in the game.
You need it.
Oh, fuck you.
You need it. You totally need it.
So let's wrap things up with some WWE news, shall we?
Oh, yes. I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
So, a while back, a couple weeks, there was a what we like to call a roster purging in WWE land, where a number of
it sounds like something the UN would put you in front of a tribunal for.
A bunch of enhancement talent and prospects from the NXT training promotion were let go, and everyone thought at the time, oh, this massive purging is a result of the network losing money. And that now that we've fired all these people, we'll be good. No. In addition to that purge, it's been reported that Vince McMahon, at the very least, wants to cut payroll by $10 million, in addition to what's already been cut. Now, the exact quote was in the 8-figure. Range. So that's at least 10 million, but this could range anywhere from 99 million to 10 million in terms of a dollar amount.
Right.
Look, I don't have the network. It's not available in Canada, but I know plenty of people who do have the network. And yes, it is great. If I had it, I'd purge myself on like all these old WCW and NWA WCW shows, all the old Clashes of Champions, WCW Saturday Nights, the Nitros from the height of the Monday Night War, all the pay-per-views, all that good stuff. And I know that there are a lot of wrestling fans who likewise have passions, and they want to go back and watch the old shows that they remember. If you're a WWE fan, maybe it's Saturday Night's Main Event. Or the old Raws, or if it's ECW, you want to watch ECW Hardcore TV when that promotion was really taking off in the mid-90s. I understand the appeal, even though I don't have it. I really do, and I understand that getting all of that content, plus pay-per-views, all for under $10, I understand it's a deal. But let's face facts at this point. The network is a fucking flop. It's cannibalizing their own business.
Let's burn it to the ground.
It's cannibalizing their own business. And burn. It's bleeding the company money. A correction. I said a couple months back when we first discussed this that WCW in the year 2000 lost $110 million. I was actually mistaken. The dollar amount that WCW lost back then was closer to $60 million. But that's still a lot of money, and at the time, it was the most money a wrestling company has ever made.
Farted in the wrong direction and came up with this abortion.
Yes. Partly
Good
as
job,
a result, partly as a result of a poor network subscription showing, coming in at around 660,000 subscribers, the WWE Network in one day cost the WWE, Vince McMahon personally, $350 million of a stock crash. since then, they have, and cause, you know, this is a publicly traded company on Wall Street. They can't hush this up. They have to be open about it. If the WWE, network hits 1 million subscribers by the end of this year, they still lose 40 to 50 million. WCW in 2000, the year that put them out of business, lost 60 million. If the WWE network stays around 700,000 subscribers at the end of the year, they lose 60 to 75 million. Again, WCW in 2000, the previous benchmark for the most a wrestling company has lost in a year, lost 60 million. So, I'm not trying to say that the WWE will be dead by 2016. What I'm trying to say is that massive amounts of money are being lost on this network. And it's not, and when I say that it's cannibalizing their own business, it means that, for example, major cable and satellite companies pissed off that the WWE is giving away their pay-per-views for $10 a month are refusing to carry their pay-per-views now because, you know, they weren't consulted about this. As a result of that, the pay-per-view market has now been absolutely devastated. Pay-per-view returns are not what they once were. And sure, a lot of those people who aren't ordering pay-per-views are seeing it on the network, but instead of getting between $50 and $60 a pay-per-view per customer, the majority of their fan base, in the United States at least, is now only paying $10, and that $10 is built into the entire cost of the network, not just the pay-per-views. So, not to mention what the network's going to do to their home video collection, because the WWE home video business has survived on, you know, re-releasing those old Clash of Champions collections, those old WCW and ECW pay-per-view collections.
Those fat right in the ass.
Those old Raw and Nitro collections. That was, but you know, I still buy them because I can't get the network. But let's say I did get the network. Am I going to go out and buy the best of WCW Monday Nitro on DVD?
You probably would.
No, I wouldn't if I have the network where I can go back and literally watch every single Nitro ever made. I don't need the collection now. So pay-per-view market's cannibalized. Home video market cannibalized. A company, at best case scenario, the company loses $40 million at the end of this year. That not just on the network. The entire venture is being drained by this network. The only way they can really do anything is to raise the price of the network, and that risks driving subscribers away. And on top of that, it turns out that there's trouble in paradise in terms of wrestlers feeling happy and secure in their profession. As of now, wrestlers have still not received the WrestleMania bonus payouts. The WrestleMania payday is always like Christmas if you're a WWE wrestler. That's when you get your big fucking payday.
Right.
And they still haven't gotten it. They're going to, the rumor is that they're going to be getting it this week. However, again, due to the fact that the pay-per-view market's been cannibalized, one, they're not sure how much they're going to get, and two, they're not sure if the payout's going to be based on just pay-per-view buys or if they're going to work the network into that. This is part of the reason why CM Punk left, by the way. When CM Punk just quit WWE, he said, look, they're being very shady about how the network's going to affect pay-per-view payouts. They haven't told anyone how it's going to work. I don't know what I'm going to be earning. Everything I see from the WWE from a financial standpoint these days points to the fact that the network, for as cutting edge as it is, for as good of a deal as it might have, for as good of an idea as it might have been, for as good of a deal as it is, it's just not working. Maybe the wrestling fan base is just not the right fan base from a demographic standpoint to test this new technology out on. Maybe that's it. But, you know, at the end of the day, Vince McMahon is a very stubborn man. And if he sticks with this idea for too long, past the point where it's draining the company dry, I'm not sure how much longer it can hold out. I mean, let's also keep in mind that a lot of people are saying that the launching of the network without NBC's consultation was a big reason why NBC refused to give them that TV deal they wanted, and they only got a fraction of what they were asking for. So at what point does this network hinder WWE's ability to survive from a financial standpoint? And I ranted, and I do apologize for that, but I just had a lot to say on this subject.
Oh, no, you're fine. You know, I really don't know what to say about it. I mean, you've covered it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Vince be his own worst enemy brings me great joy and amusement. I really, really hate that son of a bitch. It sucks that the wrestlers are getting drawn into it this way, though. At what point could they, like, I mean, I'm sure you don't know exactly what all is in the contracts, but I mean, could they conceivably, I mean, if they continue to not get the WrestleMania bonus, could they conceivably sue for breach of contract?
No. Technically speaking, the way the contracts work, the WWE considers their wrestlers independent contractors.
Mm.
And that's how they get around things like having them join, say, the Screen Actors Guild or form their own union or whatever. WWE is all very shady when it comes to the contracts of their wrestlers. Wrestlers could certainly quit, but partly as a result of the Monday Night Wars and Vince McMahon fearing losing talent to the competition, all performer contracts have it in that if the wrestler quits, that's a 90-day no-compete clause. So that would hinder their ability to go to TNA or ROH or any of the smaller indie companies. So if you're a wrestler and you quit, you're essentially committing yourself to 90 days without working for a paycheck.
Well, okay. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, with the paychecks a lot of these guys get, they get paid quite a bit of money.
If you're to quote Triple H, a tippy top guy, yeah. But if you're some jobber, enhancement talent, maybe not so much. It really all depends on where you are on the pay scale.
Jobber.
Hey, that's what it's called, man.
I know. I just love that term. You're a fucking jobber.
So, you know, yeah, some guys could. CM Punk could certainly afford to walk away. That's why he did. But some wrestlers, not necessarily. It's all very sketchy. But every new piece of financial news coming out of the WWE, it doesn't look good. This network idea, guys, at a certain point, you just got to call. You got to call it quits, and you got to do it before it's too late.
He ain't going to do that. He's too high on his own fucking farts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vince has pretty much always thought that he could do no wrong. Yeah, and this is no exception. He's sitting there with his head up his own ass while everything falls apart around him. And meanwhile, you know, back at TNA headquarters, Yes, Vincent. My vengeance is nearly complete.
Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
if Bischoff was somehow behind all of this, that would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. yeah, other bad news for the WWE. Daniel Bryan. Oh, man, the timing for this guy just sucked. He gets his big push. He gets his big WrestleMania win. He's crowned World Heavyweight Champion. WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And then what happens? Well, he gets married and goes on his honeymoon. Okay. Then his dad dies. He's got to take time off for the funeral. That sucks. And then it turns out that he needs neck surgery. So he
now,
leaves.
Now, is that for injuries that he sustained during WrestleMania?
During a lead up to WrestleMania, I think. I think it was I think it was basically getting hurt and then working through the pain to the point that he was just making it worse.
Gotcha.
But as a result of his injuries, he had to take time off. They thought he'd be back by Money in the Bank, but his recovery from all indications has not gone well at all. And now they're saying he needs another surgery. And so their big star, the guy who was, you know, setting the wrestling world on fire, the guy everyone wanted to see as champion, he's been out. John Cena is now, John Cena filled the void. He is now the World Heavyweight Champion, and we'll get to more of that in a bit. But as of right now, yeah, Daniel Bryan, out for the foreseeable future. And on top of that, Intercontinental Champion Bad News Barrett also out with an injury.
I've got some bad news.
He's out.
He still got that fucking phone there, the Vince on speed dial, watching the fucking stock reports. Just redialing.
Vince, I've got some bad news. But, Bad News Barrett, just as he was catching on, just as he was starting to gain momentum as Intercontinental Champion, shoulder injury, he's out for a number of months, kind of leaving the WWE in kind of a tough spot when their top two champions are forced onto the shelf. But as I said, John Cena at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view won the vacant World Heavyweight Championship by defeating, I believe, six other men in a ladder match to become the 15-time world champion, which, brace yourselves, if he loses the world title and wins it one more time, he's tied Ric Flair for most ever world title wins. Yes, John Cena will have tied the fucking Nature Boy, Ric Flair, greatest wrestler who ever lived. His record will be tied by John Cena. Yeah.
I really hate that man.
But here's why I'm not too pissed off about it. Here's why. Because, and again, plans subject to change and everything, but it has been, you know, leaked from people who supposedly have insider connections with the WWE that the plan is for John Cena to hold the title until SummerSlam in August, the second most important show on the WWE calendar. And at SummerSlam, he is scheduled to lose the World Heavyweight Championship to Brock Lesnar.
Eh.
Man who defeated The Undertaker's undefeated streak.
Eh.
Legit badass former UFC heavyweight champion.
Eh.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I think that would be awesome. And the plan from, again, all subject to change, but this is kind of what people have put together right now. The plan would be for Brock Lesnar to hold the title from SummerSlam all the way until WrestleMania 31, where he'll lose to Roman Reigns, who they're going to build up as the next big star, now that the Shield has gone their separate ways.
Well, now that I could get behind.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty cool.
He is. Roman Reigns is awesome. I look forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to Brock Lesnar, because Lesnar is a legit badass who kind of adds a sense of legitimacy to the whole thing. And you know what? I'm up for seeing Lesnar just walk through fools for months on end. I would actually be interested in seeing that.
I mean, could be worse. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just, he's okay. I don't think bad of him. I don't, to me, he's just kind of there.
Well, you see, he was a big deal when he debuted back in, 2002, I think it was. Yeah, I just started watching WWE, you know, kind of full time after WCW went under. And Lesnar was one of the first big stars that debuted in the WWE, and I could really get behind him, because he wasn't one of the guys going up against WCW in the Monday Night Wars. He was kind of his own entity. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, I can, you know, I can get behind Lesnar. And then he did his thing for a while, retired from wrestling. Now he's back. And, you know what? Having him with Paul Heyman in the championship for months, that would just be golden fucking television. And I can't wait to see it. So
it could be interesting,
which is why I'm not all that upset about Cena, winning the title at Money in the Bank. Cause I know he's just there to feed it to Lesnar at SummerSlam. Again, the fact that he's a 15-time champion still bugs me, because he'll have at least one more title run after this and tie Ric Flair. I know that for sure. But, God, you know, at least he's there to give it to Lesnar, who will be fun. And then Lesnar will have it to give it to Reigns, which will hopefully establish a new star. And that's all good. That's all doing, you know, the right thing in that
room. Providing there's still a WWE left at that point.
I don't know what they have to do, man. They need to seriously slash and burn a lot of, they're gonna have to slash and burn if they want this network thing to stick around.
Yeah, they just need to get rid of the fucking network. I mean, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. You know, they should just stop taking new subscriptions for it. Let everyone's, you know, 6 months or however long they signed up for fucking run out, and then shut the whole fucking thing down. Cut their losses and fucking walk away.
The network at the moment, well, I do know that the next quarterly conference call is in the end of July. At the end of July, we will know where the subscription numbers stand. But again, I'm not too confident, because even if they hit 1 million, they're still losing money. They're still losing 40 million a year, 40 to 50 million a year. And, I honestly don't know if they're going to even hit 1 million, because I believe the Wall Street Journal ran a run-up when the network was announced. And the Wall Street Journal calculated that if you look at WWE's audience, you look at the demographics of their audience, that there are around, give or take a few, there are around 700,000 fans who would be willing to buy and support the network. That's a problem when WWE announced at launch that they needed 1 million to break even, and now, after it's proven to be more costly than they anticipated, they're now saying they need two million to break even and start to turn a profit.
And of the 700,000 that Wall Street Journal said that they could potentially tap into, they've got pretty much all of them already.
Yeah.
They've got like, what, 600 and some odd thousand?
660,000.
Yeah.
The last one, yeah.
So, I mean, they've pretty much, I mean, that's something that's kind of cool, but of all the people that would have been willing to do it, they got like 95% of them. That's awesome.
I mean,
you know, that they saturated that well, but that's not nearly enough to keep it viable.
WWE on Raw, they've sort of turned Raw into a means to try to pimp the network, to try to get as many people onto it as possible. They're giving away another free trial, which, again, I can't even take advantage of because Canada. But the way that it's working is that they're telling people on the TV, right, the WWE network has a 90% satisfaction rate among customers. Yeah, that's great. But here's the problem. Everyone who that would impress already fucking signed up for it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get, like, basically, you're not going to convince people who weren't going to buy it to buy it just because satisfaction is at 90%. Because the people who weren't going to buy it aren't going to buy it for reasons that satisfaction won't really overcome. The fact that a lot of the WWE audience is actually older. They're between 35 to 45, 50, you know, that age group. And the older you are, the less willing you are to experiment with new technologies, statistically speaking. So you got all these older people who are saying, like, oh, I don't know, it's one of those new streaming things. I don't feel comfortable with that, and they're not going to do it. Or you've got younger kids, and they might be into it, but the younger kids, they need parents. And the parents are probably those older folks. So, again, there's really only 700,000 people in that 18 to, say, 30, 35 demographic who will be willing to put down money for the network. And you've got most of them. And you need more, but there aren't more potential customers out there. There simply isn't. So,
I think the problem is a bit more basic than that, actually. Okay. I think the problem is that to really give a rat's ass about the network, you've already got to be pretty hardcore. I mean, like a pretty hardcore fan.
Yeah, you've got to care about watching all that archival footage for it to really be a value proposition.
Right, and you have to be a person, I mean, who, you know, would be interested in the pay-per-views and all this other shit. You've got to be pretty hardcore to be interested in it, and I don't think there's that many people who are that much into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not as many who meet all the criteria, you know, I guess maybe the age group that you're talking about and, you know, the devotion factor, while at the same time being in the country that offers it. Hear that, Canada? Get your shit together. Stop depriving your people.
It's not our fault. WWE refuses to release it up here.
Oh, well, fuck them. See, they deserve this. They deserve this for what they're doing to you.
Well, you know, Canada's always loved professional wrestling. There's a huge professional wrestling fan base up in this country. I don't know why WWE didn't take advantage of it. I've heard that there were contractual obligations that they couldn't violate with some of their Canadian television partners. But I don't know. If it was possible to pull, they should have done everything they could to launch that thing up here. It would have netted them more subscribers. That's for sure. So I don't know why they didn't.
We'll find out. I mean, I don't see Vince, taking back water on it. I don't see him getting the subscribers he needs either. So I see him either being, you know, ousted by the board of directors, or the whole fucking thing is just gonna go down the tubes.
Mm. Yeah, probably. Probably. Oh well. The WWE circles the drain. And, you know, I'm a fan of wrestling, and WWE being the biggest company, I admit it does suck in some respects to see it suffer, but at the same time, I was a WCW fan, and so part of me can't help but feel like this is sweet vengeance from the grave.
Professional wrestling is not going to die. If there's not WWE, there will be something. It's not going to die. You know, if anything, the assets and whatnot, the rights to all these things will be bought by someone else. And, you know, it'll be some other promotion that's going to be doing shit in, you know, the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'll be a rough spot, but personally, even though I do enjoy professional wrestling, the satisfaction of seeing basically what I think is Vince getting what's coming to him, it's very, very satisfying.
I can't deny that, knowing all the shit he pulled with Jim Crockett's NWA, back before that became WCW, all of the shady behind-the-scenes business dealings that he engaged in, the way he drove promoters out of business left and right, this, you can't help but think this is a bit of just desserts. People were saying that, too, back during the Monday Night Wars when Nitro was kicking Raw's ass in the ratings, that this was just desserts for Vince McMahon. So, you know, it says something that every time the WWE hits a financial wall, you get people saying, well, you know, maybe Vince had this coming.
Yeah, but this seems to be a little bit bigger than his average financial wall.
Well, last time he had Ted Turner gunning for him. This time, unless they discover that next Steve Austin who can just really get the fans into a frenzy, they're going to have to work to claw out of this financial hole that they seemingly dug for themselves.
You know, the funny thing is, I mean, exactly. No one's gunning for them anymore. This is just his own fuckwittery. Mm-hmm. He is literally just doing himself in. He is fucking himself as hard as he can, as fast as he can, and he's enjoying it, seems like, because he keeps doing it.
Well, this is what happens when you take a wrestling promoter and you put them in charge of a publicly traded Wall Street company. You've got a glorified circus promoter who's trying to play grown-up with financial experts and economic experts. And the same kind of shit that works in wrestling, i.e. trying to overhype a match, when you try to overhype a product like the network and it doesn't deliver, well, in wrestling, that just ends up with a couple angry fans. In the financial sector, when you overhype something and it falls short, you lose $350.
You go to jail.
You lose $350 million and people start investigating you for financial fraud. So I think Vince, Wall Street was never really right for you, you know.
I think Ross Perot said it best.
Mm.
Just because you can run the Circle K don't mean you can run Walmart.
Yeah.
Now, Vince, what I got here is a stick. Now, Vince, I want you to watch this here stick. It is a voodoo stick for a reason. You are practicing bad voodoo.
Vince, seriously, go to MSG, go to Comcast. There were rumors that they wanted to buy the company. Cash out, man. Cash out while there's still a company to sell.
Nah, man, keep running it in the fucking ground. Let Bischoff pick it all up for $200 on eBay. Fucking.
That, you know what? In my wildest dreams, that would be fantastic if Eric Bischoff is the one who comes out on top of this. Once again, Vince, we dance our dance, only now I am the victor.
Hello, Vincent.
It's been a
long
time.
How has life been treating you?
It's been a
long
time.
Not so good, I hear.
Well, we'll see what happens to the WWE in the coming months. End of July should be interesting to hear that quarterly investors report. It is a magical time of the year, really, because we're dealing with investors and real people's, like, actual large sums of money. They can't bullshit their way like they usually do, so they actually have to be honest about how things are going. So we'll see how that turns out. I wouldn't hold out your hope, WWE fans. Expect more bad news.
Yeah, and you know, okay, to the guys out there who are hardcore WWEers, and maybe some of you think we're being a little bit too hard on Vince, especially me, because Mike clearly sounds a lot more sympathetic than I do. I do feel bad for the wrestlers. I do feel bad for the talent. Don't get me wrong. I do. But again, like I said earlier, you got to keep this in perspective. Professional wrestling is bigger than Vince McMahon. It's bigger than any one promotion that ever has been, will be, or could be.
Despite Vince McMahon's continued insistence that he is bigger.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, as Mike and I often say, you know, you can kill a man, but you can't kill an idea. And this applies here. You can kill a company, but you can't kill the greater thing. You can't kill professional wrestling. As long as there's a demand for it and people that have a passion for it, and we're in no danger of losing that. If anything, it seems more popular now than it was when I was growing up. So it's not going to go anywhere. It will change. It will be different, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse. We don't know. We can't tell. But it's going to be there. So, you know, don't stress over it. Let fucking Vince ask fuck himself into oblivion if he wants to, and we can just sit back and watch the hijinks as he tries to
you know, address the board of directors and play fucking wrestling promoter, and they just don't buy the hype. I think that's pretty fucking funny.
Indeed. Agreed. Agreed. And with that, we're going to bring episode 23 of Basically a Geek Show to an end. You can catch us on Twitter at A Geek Show. Email us at basicallyageekshow@gmail.com. You can catch us on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and of course on the Basically a Sports Show website, basicallysportsshow.com or basicallysports.tumblr.com. For Jack, this is Mike signing off.
Good night, everybody.
Try again.